answered prayers. I have trouble I wish wasn't there. And I have asked a thousand ways that you would take my pain away. You would take my pain away. I am trying to understand how to walk this weary land. Make straight the paths that crooked lie. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands. When you walked upon the earth, you healed the broken, lost, and hurt. I know you hate to see me cry. One day you will set all things right. Yeah, one day you will set all things right. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hand. Your hands that shape the world, are holding me, they hold me still. Your hands that shape the world, are holding me, they hold me still. When my world is shaped, when my heart is breaking, I never leave you. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave. I never.
May be seated. Before we do our last song, we are going to have communion this morning with all of our children in here, and so we want to have the ushers come forward and pass out communion, and then we're going to sing the song. Again, visitors, I know there's a couple here. This is the Lord's table. You're welcome to participate with us and be a part of communion. And so we're going to do this last song, and then we'll celebrate communion together.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary,
Thank you, worship team. That's such appropriate song for communion. And we give thanksgiving as we remember what Jesus did for us when he went to the cross. And it's through that we can be pure, we can be holy, and we can be used for his glory. And that's the glory of the cross, the new covenant, and what we celebrate. And so as we celebrate communion this morning, we remember Jesus' body that was given for us to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to make us pure and holy, and to make us a sanctuary. You know, when you think of sanctuary in the Old Testament, what was a sanctuary? It was the temple. It was the tabernacle. But we are the temple. We are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit because God has purified and cleansed us. So let's eat together. And again, the cup represents that new covenant that Jesus gave us, that we are pure, we're holy, we are a sanctuary of his Spirit, we can be usable for his kingdom, and it's because of the blood of Christ, because of what Jesus did for us. And we give thanks to him. Let's drink together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. We thank you that Jesus died that we might have life and to have it abundantly. We thank you that Jesus' death makes us pure and holy and makes us what we're to be. And help all of us here this morning, all of our children and everyone here, to really understand fully what you have done for us when you died for us. Bless our children as they go to Children's Church now. I pray for our teachers as they teach them and help them to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So children, nursery, preschool, grade school kids, you are invited to go to your classes at this time. And while they do that, let me give you a few announcements this morning. First of all, happy Mother's Day, if you haven't heard that yet. And for all of you ladies here, not just for mothers, but for all of you, there is a plant out on the table. And so when you're leaving today, make sure you get that. Thank you, Leslie, for taking care of that. And the women's ministry team, I know, had some of that, but I know Leslie is one that did the heavy lifting on that. And I dropped a couple of plants coming in, but you can't tell which ones they are. But anyway, but thank you, Leslie, for that. And thank you all for what you do. And I know that, Jeannie, you got a special plant. And you're back there being all emotional about it and everything. But, you know, Jeannie does so much. And we are just appreciate you, Jeannie. And what an awesome job you do. You know, I don't know. How many of you, let me ask you this. How many of you have received a card in the mail from Jeannie? Almost all have. She is just so awesome and just always, and she always asks me, say, Randall, you let me know if there's anybody needs something. I'm there to do it. And she just does it, and it's her gift. And thank you, Jeannie. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. A couple of other announcements. The building project, if you notice in the back, there is a basket and there's a list of items in the bulletin. If you want to start bringing some of those and bringing them and put them in the basket, we will be collecting that from now to July the 4th. Anything that we have donated, we don't have to buy. And again, we have a budget and we will buy it. But if you want to donate things, you're welcome to do that. And you can bring it and put it in the basket in the back. And we'll be picking that up over when the bucket fills up. We'll take it and get another one. So if you want to do that over the next few weeks, there's a lot more information there. Also, I've gotten an email, and just to give you an update, we have one couple that needs housing. We have two single men in their 60s that need housing. We have two teenage girls that need housing, and I think that's it. I'd have to look at my list again. But if you have a place that you would like to house somebody for that week and let them stay with you, again, you don't have to feed them anything but breakfast because we'll have lunch and dinner here. And it's just a place for them to sleep while they're here, and it would be from probably Sunday night through Friday night. But if you're interested in doing that, let me know, and we'll make sure that they get that place. But we're going to be needing those places for people to stay while they're here. And again, we've got about 30 volunteers coming, but we're also going to have people from the church that will be helping. So the meals and all that, Ingrid is in charge of that, and I know I had a meeting of that last week for that. Also, VBS is coming up, the CYA Christian missionaries will be doing that. We'll have some of the ones from Pagosa. We have 11 missionaries from Pagosa, 3 from here. We'll be doing that July 8th through 12th, which is a week after the group is here. I need some help just mainly with snacks. We need to give out invitations, and we need to basically, I'm going to maybe need a little housing for some of the kids. We'll see. I may be able to take most of them, but also people to do snacks. Just to be here to help oversee it and to do snacks. We're going to do 2 clubs this year. We're going to do 1 for the preschool and 1 for the regular kids. And then we'll be also doing that with First Baptist. We're partnering, and we're doing 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. I'll be meeting with Frank. I'll let you know what we're planning to do, which one we're going to do after I meet with Frank Keene over at First Baptist. But we'll be partnering with them to try to really get all of our community here in Ignacio for that week. So that's just another announcement there. Last announcement is, used to do graduation on Mother's Day in Bayfield, and thankfully they don't do that anymore. All our boys graduate on Mother's Day, but Daniel is graduating from high school this year, and Mark, would you come on up here? And I know, Mark, you love being on the stage. I'm going to do that just because. We honor our young people who've grown up in the church with the Bible. I've got a Bible here for you, Daniel, we want to present to you. And I wrote in the binding of the Bible, and it's okay to write in your Bibles, by the way. But I wrote in there, as you complete this journey, you now venture into another journey. May the Lord, through His Word, help you navigate your path. Your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And may the Lord Jesus Christ direct your steps and bless you every step of your way. We love you, Daniel. It's been, one of the blessings that I've had of being pastor here for so long is watching these people being born into our church and growing up, and being a part of a church for all these years. And Daniel's an awesome young man, and we're very proud of you and your graduation, and we just want to pray for you and what you're doing here. And Mark, you guys did a great job raising your sons, and I know you got a few more coming up, but it's just been a blessing to watch your kids grow up in the church and be a part of the church, and just want to pray for you.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for Daniel. I thank you for his family. Lord, it has deep roots in this church. And Lord, in some way, I think Ray and Paula are looking down from heaven at this moment, and they're smiling, knowing that another one has made it through growing up and becoming a man. And I just pray that you would direct Daniel's steps. Whatever he does, wherever he goes, that you will guide him by your Spirit and by your Word, that he would accomplish every purpose you have for his life, and that he would live his life in the fullness for you. And so just guide him, Lord, as he completes his high school time this week, and help him as he moves into the next stage of his life as an adult, and help him to become a godly man in every way, even as you've given him this opportunity to this point. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congratulations.
Love you guys.
So what we want to do now is just have a time of prayer, and if you'll just gather together in small groups wherever you are, and just if you have some needs, pray for those. If you have a living mother and she's not here this morning, you might want to pray for her and just thank the Lord for her, and just whatever needs you have, and then I'll close the prayer time, and then we will move into our sermon. Father, we thank you for this day that we honor our mothers. We thank you for the blessing they've been in our lives. And Lord, for those that have mothers that are alive today, may we bless them, honor them, and we thank you for them. And Lord, as we look at your word today in regards to mothers, help us to really discern what you have spoken to us in your word, in the high honor and calling, the purpose that you have put into this world, and the blessing that motherhood is. And we shun the world that says that it's not important, that it doesn't matter. And we look to you and your design that you gave us and how to establish society and to live culture and to have a world that is at peace, and it is good. And so help me as I communicate this morning, as we honor mothers and the work that she does. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of notes before we get into our sermon. First of all, I want to say this about my mother. My mother and my sister and brother-in-law are moving to Farmington this week from Pocatello, Idaho. So you may get to see my mom every once in a while in the service, and I'm really excited about her being an hour away instead of 10 or 14 hours away, which she's been all my grown-up years. And they're moving to get closer here. And so just, if you would, pray for them as they journey. They'll be traveling on Wednesday to Cortez, where John Mark is, and then we'll be unloading their truck in Farmington, where they'll be living. The next thing is that I read an interesting article this morning that the woman who actually started Mother's Day, it was in America, she started Mother's Day, but not too long after she did, she started disdaining the day because it became so commercialized, and she ended up dying in an insane asylum because she fought to, you know, take away all this hoopla that, because it's one of the most expensive holidays that is out there, because everybody has to go and buy mothers this, and her point was just to honor her mother. And it was interesting when I read that article about the woman who founded Mother's Day. The other one is, when I was getting the bulletin together for Valerie, and I told her what her scripture reading was going to be today, because I didn't have a specific passage beyond that, she said, "You know that is impossible for a woman to do that." I said, "Yeah." And I said, "You also know why there's not a men's list in the Bible." I said, "If there's a man's list in the Bible, our wives would be reminding us of it all the time, saying, 'See, you're supposed to be like this.'" And no smart man would ever tell his wife this is what she has to do. And so anyway, we had a laugh over the Proverbs 31, and it is a popular passage of scripture. And as we talk about motherhood today, I want to remind us that motherhood, I believe, is the highest calling for women. But on a couple of levels, first of all, not all women have had the ability to bear children or wanted to bear children. And so we're not here to shun them or make them feel shamed in any way. And the other thing is, women are much more capable of many, many other things besides just being a mother. And so we want to preface our sermon this morning with that. You don't have an outline to fill out this morning. I just wanted to really honor you and talk about it. But what I want to do this morning, as we've gone through 1 Corinthians, we've come across two passages. One last week we looked at in 1 Timothy, dealing with women in the church. And the other one was in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, dealing with women in the church and their role in the church and services and all that. And in both of those passages, there were things that were alluded to that I really didn't talk about. And as I thought about Mother's Day, I wanted to go back to those passages and talk about those today. Because as we live life in the culture we live in, we live in a world that really has, as our culture, shunned motherhood. And and said that women are wasting their lives raising children, and that they have greater roles to live in society, and that it really isn't that important. And what Paul does in these passages is he calls us to mature thinking. And again, that's a general theme in 1 Corinthians, is that we are called as God's people to mature thinking. And what mature thinking does is two things. One, it keeps us from thinking about our own selfish needs and desires. We think about others. And then along with that, how we are to help others to accomplish all that God has. And Paul says in Romans, and you have these scriptures in your outline there if you want to look at them, but he says in Romans chapter 2, 12, verse 2, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." And so Paul says, don't think like the world. And the world shuns motherhood. The world shuns what we're going to talk about here today. But the scriptures basically say to you women out there that the highest calling for a woman's life is that of motherhood. And I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And when we understand God's will, we can embrace that and live it out. And again, as we look at the world today, there are two things that are very alarming that as we look at in America and really Western society, which is Europe, Canada, Australia, United States, what they call the Western society. And what you're seeing is an alarming rate that, first of all, women are choosing not to have children. The average birth rate in America and these Western societies is 1.6 children per family. And somebody said, well, what's the 0.6? That's just an average. But in order to just sustain a society and not see growth, you need to have about 2.2 children per family. And we will go extinct as a culture if it doesn't change. And why are women not having children? Well, first of all, marriage has been thrown away in many cultures and in many places in America. You know, young couples are not getting married. They're just living together. And that doesn't establish that consistency, that foundation really to raise children. So a lot of couples are living together and not having children. And the other one that I think that we really deal with a lot is women in their careers. Women are wanting to have their careers, and they're not interested in children. As a matter of fact, I think the number one reason for abortion in America is convenience. We talk to our campus ministry, and campus ministry is where most abortions take place. It's young women who are going to college who get pregnant, and they don't want to give up their aspirations for their career, and so they go get an abortion. And they see children as a burden or inconvenient. And again, as we look at our society today, that's the way a lot of it's looked at. One of the reasons a lot of couples won't have but one or two children is they're so expensive and they're a burden. And so they don't want to have more than one or two children because all that's all they can afford, and they see them as a liability. But the Bible does never see children's liability. In Psalm 127, it says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." And so we need to, first of all, change our thinking to see children for what they are. They're a reward from God, and they're a gift from the Lord. Now, again, I want to say this for those of you in this room, especially you women. I want to be sensitive to those who have never been able to have children, don't have children, or have chosen not to have children, and that's God's thing. I'm not here to any way to say you did it wrong or you're wrong in where you are. But what I do want to address is that God's plan and purpose for most women and the highest value that they can give to society and to the world in general is to be mothers. And I think that's what I really want to talk about. And I'm going to give a statistic to you. I'm reading through a book called The Body Keeps the Score, and it's dealing with trauma. And it's one I got through Victim Resources, and it deals with people going through trauma. But there's a whole section, and really all through the book, it deals with children and trauma. And he spends a lot of time talking about child abuse that is rampant in our society. I don't think really any of us in this room understand how big of a crisis it is. Matter of fact, he says in his book that trauma and child abuse is the largest growing problem we have and the most expensive problem that goes beyond cancer and heart conditions is child abuse in our society. It's a most costly public issue. He also says this in his study dealing with child abuse. It states if we were to eradicate child abuse in our society, depression in America would be reduced by 50%, alcoholism by two-thirds, suicide, IV drug use, and domestic violence by three-fourths. It would totally transform our society, empty out our jails, and change our workplace. Now again, what I'm not saying here that the women are the cause of all the child abuse. But what I would say is the absentee mothers in our society that are not there taking care of their children leads to a lot of that child abuse that is going on. And women are abandoning their children. And again, you see this in second generation, especially for those that grew up and are incarcerated. They are in alcoholism, they're in drug use, and they're not taking care of their children, and their children are going by the wayside, and they're not fulfilling their purpose there, that many of these women are allowing their children to be abused. And that's what we see in our society today, which again goes against God's natural instinct that He gave to mothers, and it goes against what God's purpose is for them. It's interesting that the Bible talks about God's love in Isaiah, a couple of passages that I want to read to you about how God has instilled that natural desire in women, and it mirrors the way God is. Look at what he says here. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child that she has born? Now again, we look at our society today and there are women. I saw another article and another headline just this week where a woman killed her children in Las Vegas. I think it was a headline this morning. It happens all the time, but it's not natural. It's not the way God intended it to be. But listen to what he says. But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. God would never forget us, but he mirrors and he illustrates his love that he has for us as a mother for her child. In Isaiah 66, he says, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. There was a quote that I saw this week that compares mothers and fathers, and I laughed at it. I didn't actually put it in my notes, but it's a funny one. I'll bring it up. It says, mothers stroke and fathers poke. And again, that comfort, you know, when one of my boys would fall down and hurt himself. He'd be crying. He'd say, get up, get over it. You know, and that wasn't what they got from their mother. And, you know, they got that comfort, that cuddling, that other part. And that's the way God designed them. And it's so important for that. And it's so important to the degree. And again, looking at this book and statistics and things, if a child does not have that safety net, that comfort, that place that they can come to get relief when they are traumatized. And it may be a small trauma, but if they grow up without that, they never develop the ability to handle trauma. And so what they found is, as an adult, for example, you go through a traumatic experience. If you didn't have that mothering as a child, that safety net, that ability, your ability to get over that trauma later is very, very slim. And the point I'm making is that There is no greater calling for most women than to be mothers. And I want to honor that this morning and look at it. It is the building of the home. Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And so as our society has diminished the greatness of being mother, I want to encourage it and show you and challenge you with how important your role is. And I would even go this far to say this. The hope of the church and the hope of our society rest in the hands of mothers raising their children and being there to help them. I believe the Bible places that high calling there on you as mothers. Going back to one of the passages I looked at last week, and I left the last part of it off, and I want to deal with it this morning and look at it in the context of what Paul is saying. And what he had said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 at the beginning of this passage is that don't allow a woman to have authority over a man or teach a man. But he says in verse 15, he says, women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. And I want to talk about that passage a little bit this morning. And what Paul is saying is that godly women will find their highest fulfillment and safe passage in life by mothering children. This is their primary role that God has given them. It is God's will that women's primary influence mankind from the bottom up. In other words, by way of the child, rather than from the top down, by the way of man. God has naturally equipped you as women, both physically and spiritually, for this calling, and she reaches her highest goal by way of mothering her children. And it's interesting, Adam actually saw this right after the fall. Do you remember the curse that was on woman at the fall? Pain in childbearing. How many of you women have experienced pain in childbearing? Okay, that was the curse. But it's interesting that Paul actually took that curse and made it a blessing in the sense of, what did he name Eve? What does Eve stand for? The mother of all the living. In other words, Adam understood this. And when a woman has children, and what great blessing does a mother have when she experiences the delight and joy and glory of seeing the image of her Savior reflected in the little ones who belong to her, to Him. And so in bearing children, the Christian mother, by faith in God's covenant promise, looks forward to the joys of Christian motherhood unto the glory of God. Now Paul further qualifies this, and he's not saying that a woman is saved and goes to heaven because she has children. He goes on and says, if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with good sense. So it's not that childbearing literally brings salvation. Only belief in Christ can do that. But Paul is talking about fulfillment in life and purpose in life. And so the complete thought is this. Women members of the church should strive to abide in faith and love and sanctification, exercising proper self-control and reserve, and find their joy and highest purpose in bearing and rearing children to God's glory. This is the great blessing for Christian mothers. And again, this is not a shackle. It's a blessing that we need to embrace and do that. And I want to just reflect on this from my own experience. When Sherry and I were engaged in talking about getting married, Sherry was the educated one, and still is the educated one. And she could go out in the workplace and make more money than me. And Sherry's one goal and her one desire was to come home and be a mom. And I helped her do that. And throughout our children's growing up, Sherry was there for our kids. I think when Nicholas finally started to school, Sherry started working outside the home. Now, Sherry worked like the Proverbs 31 woman. She was always working in the home. But her primary role was the children and being there for them. She was there every day they came home from school. And she started working out of the home when Nicholas went to public school. And she would work part-time jobs, but she always had the ability to quit jobs. I tell people Sherry changes jobs like she changes shoes, and that's okay. She can do that. But here's the thing that I want to say. Our child rearing is over. And Nicholas is back there sitting next to his mom, but he's 24 years old and lives on his own, and we see him on Sunday typically, and that's about it. Our job of parenting is pretty much over. But there is no greater joy that neither I nor Sherry have in knowing where our children are today. We have godly sons that love the Lord, that have never been in jail, that have never had addictions, that have never had so many problems that we see in this society. And I attribute that first to God and to His glory because they came to know the Lord early in life, but second to the work that Sherry did. You know, we had the ACCA banquet last night, and I wanted to say this, but I decided I'd just do what I was supposed to do and pray. ACCA as a school wouldn't exist without moms. Right, Lane? It wouldn't be there. You know, and it was moms that started it. I remember when Katrina Mars and Tandy Nossaman started that school about 10 years ago. That was there. They wanted to start it, and they did it. And I mean, they almost did it like that. But they wanted to have that option for their children growing up. And there's no way without moms at home that school can even exist because they only go to school 2 days a week and they're homeschooled the rest of the time. And it's a blessing for those families that choose that. Now, I'm not saying it's for everyone, and a lot of families don't choose that or can do that. But for those that do it, it's a blessing to those children growing up and to those families. But it's moms that make it happen. And they devoted their time, their energy, and everything to do that. But I can tell you, as one who has benefited from a mother who raised my sons, that is one of the greatest joys that we have. And today, my one daughter-in-law, Lizzie, she is staying home with Abigail. It is so funny, about twice a week, she'll FaceTime Sherry with the newest thing that Abigail's doing. They live down in San Antonio. And pictures and videos of all the things that are going on in her life and how she is progressing. And she's growing up in that safe environment where she will be able to hopefully master and successfully transition to adulthood. And again, my other daughter-in-law, Susan, has been very successful. She's athletic director of one of the most prestigious schools in the world in Korea. And I don't say that lightly. The tuition to that school is higher than Harvard. And she's athletic director for that whole school. She is quitting work to go home and be with her 6-year-old and 3-year-old daughters. And so, again, they're making those choices, and many of you have made those choices. And it's an honorable choice. And it levels the playing field. And that's one of the things that I really want to encourage here this morning. That women are equal to men. Our jobs may be different, but they're equal, and the influence that women have on our society is equal or greater. Back to that passage in 1 Corinthians 11 that we talked about, and again, we addressed it briefly, but Paul says, and he's talking about women in the church, he says, but among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from woman, and everything comes from God. Now, I don't think he's talking about just birth. I think he's talking about women's influence in raising their children up. And again, there's a poem in your bulletin that you can look at later. We're not going to read it here. But the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And again, men who become successful, by and large, across the board, almost all had a godly helping mother to get them there, to that. And so Paul sees equality between men and women. And we never want to take that away. We want to affirm that. And women don't have to compete with men, whether in the church or the workplace, to be fulfilled. The primary role that they have is different from men. And again, that we want to affirm this morning. But I want to take the next step. So after your kids are grown, what happens? The role of women changes. Now, a lot of women had careers and they go back to those careers, or they were in those careers and they can focus more on those careers. I know Liz, for example, when they had their baby, Mary, Liz came home and she worked a couple days a week as a nurse, and she's home there taking care of Mary the rest of the time. Once Mary's grown, Liz will probably go back to full time. She may not choose to. But women will change into that. But here's the other role. And I think it's a very important role. And as I look across this audience, there's a lot of you in this role. And that is women whose children are grown. And Paul says this about them in Titus. Older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In other words, it's training up the next generation of women to do that work. And we have some godly mentors here of women that do that. And I'm so grateful for them in the church. And that is a very honorable and important role that you play as we move forward, that the young women can come to you for advice, the young women can see you, that you can be an example for them. And I want to go back to this and say this. I think one of my greatest assets as a pastor of this church is the fact that we have set an example with our kids. And Sherry makes it real easy for me to set that example. Because the Bible, one of the qualifications for leadership in the church is that you've got godly children. And if we didn't, I shouldn't be up here. But again, Sherry had such a big role in that, in doing that. I played a role, but it was Sherry that made such an impression. She's the one that homeschooled our kids. She's the one that gave them that foundation, and it's important. Along with that, the role of the older women changes with grandchildren. Some of you have your grandchildren close at hand. We don't. And I want to bring Valerie up, our office administrator. Valerie is going to be gone this week. She leaves Wednesday, so you're not going to get anything from Valerie after Wednesday. She's going to be in Denver for a week with her granddaughters. And I can tell you this, Valerie would quit in a moment if I told her she couldn't be with her granddaughters anytime she wanted to be. That's her priority. And we negotiated her salary and her contract and her hours based on the fact she's free to go when she needs to. So she had an opportunity to go to Denver this week. She's gone. And you know what? I want that for her. Every woman employee we've had at the church, I have always told them, first, your first priority is your home. It's never here. And I believe that's the way God designed it. By the way, I'm going to be batching for a week and the end of the month. Sherry's going to do the same thing in San Antonio. She's flying down there to take care of Abigail for a few days while Jeremiah and Lizzie celebrate their anniversary over Memorial Day weekend. That's a role of helping with grandchildren, which again mirrors what Titus says there. So I want to be clear about something here, because this can be so easily misunderstood. And I want to make this clear, that I'm not saying a woman cannot have a career outside the home. What I am saying is that we are not to sacrifice our homes for careers. By the way, a lot of men do that too. The home is the building block of society. And if that foundation crumbles, the church crumbles and society crumbles. And if you want to look at America like the statistics I gave you, that is the foundation that's crumbled in America. We have lost that. And the hope of this church and the hope of America lies in the home and the primary role that women have there. But again, there are some women who give up marriage and give up children for the kingdom of God. Our VBS will be raising support for a missionary with CEF that trained me. Her name's Jan Johnson. She's in her 70s. She has spent 50 years on the mission field, most of it in Asia. She actually was in Vanuatu and met Bridget last year when I connected them. But she has trained missionaries and trained people to teach children all over the world. And she trained me to be able to teach you how to teach children. Awesome woman of God. But she gave up marriage. She gave up children for the kingdom of God. And there are women who do that. And there are several of them in CEF. And again, there are some women who have not been able to have children. And that's, I don't understand that. That's God's thing. And there are women who have very successful careers and raise their families. But the main thing I want to point out is this. As you are mothering your children, and I look around the room at several mothers, there's some of them are working back there. It's a tough job. And it's many times a very thankless job. Changing the diapers and cleaning up a mess going this way, and the mess gets worse going back this way. And it's monotonous and thankless, and the kids are screaming at you, and all the things that are going on. I know none of you have ever had any of that, and you want to throw in the towel. What I want to say is we want to honor you. We want to honor what you have done. Again, Daniel, Mark had a role in it, but Kirsten had a much bigger role, didn't she? I mean, Mark has had to work out of town the last few years and hadn't even been there a lot of the time. And it fell on Kirsten. And she did it. And she sacrificed to do it. And they've sacrificed to do it. And Daniel is the young man he is today, going off into adulthood because of that role that his mother played. And I can promise you, ladies, if you choose to sign up for this mission, many of you already have, but if you will be greatly rewarded. It's worth it. And there's no greater thing in the world than having children. And the Bible says has lots of them. And, you know, the only reason we stopped at 4 was because Sherry had C-sections and the doctor said it would be a risk to her life to continue. By the way, most dads will stop at 1 or 2. A lot of mothers and dads let them do it. A lot of mothers say, I want more, I want more, I want more. And that's that natural motherly instinct that God has given them to want to have children. And then they have them, they go, what did I sign up for? But anyway, mothers, we honor you. For those of you like my wife, I honor you, Sherry, and you mothers that have grown children for the work you did. For those of you in the middle of it, some of you working, Sharina having to work, Teresa works, we honor you and the work you do. You have 2 full-time jobs. And for those of you, Penny, Katie, some of the others of you, Amanda, that are you're working full-time, going to school full-time, and raising girls. You know, we honor you and the work you do. You're awesome. God's depending on you to get your job done so the next generation happens. Never take it lightly, and never think it's not worthwhile. You have a poem in your bulletin, and when I mentioned it to Nancy this morning. She said, "Do you know there's a song like about that?" And I didn't realize there is. And it's from Glenn Campbell. It's an old song. Funny, Glenn Campbell started out in Albuquerque. I don't know if you know this. He used to go out to Pie Town and do dances when my mom and dad were out there, so they knew him. But he's, I think, passed on. If he's not, he has Alzheimer's. But I want to close this morning with this song, and then we'll pray. And it's to honor you mothers and the job that you have done and the job that you have to do, the job that's ahead of you, to stay the course. So we want to do that at this time, and then I'll come up and we'll close in prayer and dismiss you this morning.
He got here red and wrinkled, scared and crying. Then she took him up and held him to her breast. And he sure was glad to get what Mama offered. Then he went to sleep and put his fears to rest. It didn't seem to matter what he needed. He could always count on Mama to supply. And regardless of the sleep she might be losing, he always found a twinkle in her eye. There ought to be a hall of fame for Mama. Creation's most unique and precious pearl. And heaven help us always. Taught him all the attributes of greatness that she knew he couldn't learn away from home. And by the time she wore the cover of her Bible, her hair was gray and her little man was gone. There ought to be a hall of fame for mamas. Creation's most unique and precious pearl. And heaven help us always to remember that the hand that rocks the cradle. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Position, no money, no husband. She had been basically self-taught, self-educated, and she became an adult and determined what to do with her life. And she's like the song, "The Hand That Rocked the Cradle Changed the World." She was the nanny of Winston Churchill. As she took care of him, it was in the Victorian era, and at that time, people of wealth would kiss their children goodnight, and that was basically their interaction for the day. And nanny, her name was Elizabeth, she took care of her little charge, and she taught him to pray, and she taught him to trust God. And when he was an adult and went off to war, he struggled with his faith, and it was her prayers that brought him back. When she was old and dying, he was in America visiting friends, and he got a message that she was near death, and he took the first available transportation back to England to be at her side for the last week of her life. And during World War II, when Winston Churchill had his fireside chats and told Europe to be strong and stand against the enemy, it was the faith that Elizabeth had given him that caused that to happen. So I want us not to take lightly how important it is, whether you're a married mom or a single mom. Those children are so special. And from personal experience, I can say I've seen my kids stray, but I've seen them come back to the faith that they've always been taught at home. And I'm grateful to have had the opportunity. I've gotten messages from both of my kids this morning telling me that they love me, and it's a blessing. And I never will take lightly the gift of motherhood.
Thank you, Leslie. Again, I just want to encourage us that how important it is for our mothers. Again, I did not grow up in a Christian home per se, but my mother became a Christian about the time I was born. And she prayed for me through my rebellious years. And thankfully, she got to see me come to the Lord. And I honor her this morning. And I'm going to talk to her this afternoon, and I'm going to get to see her on Thursday. But mothers are so important. God has designed our culture for that. Women, you're more than mothers. But the highest calling a woman can have, I believe, is to be a mother. And again, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how you have designed us all and your purposes you have for us. We honor our mothers here this morning and all that they have done in raising their children and in the process of raising their children. And give them wisdom and strength and peace and joy to be able to do the job that you've given them to do. It's a very high calling. It's a very important calling. And help them to complete that job. And for those mothers that have completed their job this morning and they look back, may you give them joy, even as Leslie has. And Lord, help them to pass that on to other women and other mothers to be able to reestablish that foundation in our country and in our world where, Lord, the home which you established first, long before the church or any government, that it will become that safe place, that nurturing place, that incubator that raises up a godly generation of young men and young women who will take back the kingdom. And Lord, you would establish for us here in our church, but also for the eons ahead. Just thank you, Jesus, for our mothers. Thank you for giving them to us and helping us to become the people we need through them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and we're going to close. Your Mother's Day gift as you get out early again today. And let's close our service with our benediction out of Jude. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and who will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of sin and with great joy. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.